message for us because we easily forget to do these things on a daily basis. And so today we're going to talk about the everydays of our spiritual walk. The everydays. And every day we do things on a normal thing. Every day, hopefully you get up and brush your teeth. Hopefully. Every day you take a shower. Hopefully. Every day you put on underwear. Hopefully. Every day you feed your body something. Every day you probably get in a car or some type of a vehicle and you go somewhere. Every day you have the normalities of life, right? And every day there's an opportunity for us to miss out on what God wants for us every day. Because every day we get busy enough in our world to not talk to Him. We get busy enough in our world to not consult with Him. We get busy enough in our world not to look for an opportunity to witness. Every day, this is the realities that we're faced. We're faced with the normality of life. We can get consumed in TV shows. We can get consumed with our bills. We can get consumed with the pains in our... I had a pain in my stomach with sickness. You can get consumed with those things that begin to take our attention away from the everydays of God instead of putting our attention and focus on Him. And so God began to talk to me and He said, well, what are you doing every day as I'm cleaning the dishes at 11 o'clock at night? And I'm like, well, every day, God, I clean 3 times a day in this kitchen, and I cook 3 times a day in this kitchen. And every day I'm picking up that dumb toy right there, and I'm, like, complaining about my little role that I'm in. And the Lord just started to speak to me, and He goes, yeah, but what are your spiritual everydays, Jess? What every day do you do spiritually? Those are things that are passing. They won't be the same one day. They will change. What do you do every day to keep you on track? And I go, wow, God. Every day, you've given me the mountains that I live over here on the north side. And we have this view of the mountains that I love south side, but south side, you don't get the mountain views. North side gets the mountain views. Those San Bernardino mountains are gorgeous. And I lived in Oklahoma. And I don't know if anybody, who's been to Oklahoma? It is like the desert of waste. Like, there's nothing there. No mountains. It was funny. We went on a little trip with some friends, and they're like, look at our mountains. I'm like, those are hills. Those are not mountains. And I just remember longing for the mountains. I did. I really longed for, like, something that was bigger than me, something that was more gorgeous and beautiful than me. And I just remember telling God, when I move back to California, I want to live by mountains. That's what I told Him. And God is just so good. So God just started to bring me into the things that I started to do every day. And I realized that those were the things that were keeping me spiritually sound. Those were the things that were encouraging me and strengthening me. And God began to say, let's write them down and let's share them with the girls because they're not doing it. We're missing out on 1 or 2 or 3 of them. Maybe you do 1, but you don't do number 2. Maybe you do 3, maybe you do 4, but you don't do number 5. You see what I'm saying? There's a piece of us that we so get caught up in the everydays of everything else that we need to remember to try and remember if we could get these 4 points, if we can remember them, maybe every day we could be like, oh, I didn't do that. I need to go do that right now. And stop yourself and go there. Stop yourself and go be with God. Stop yourself and get into it. So you guys ready? Do you have your pens and papers out?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to start with Luke 9:23. You guys got your word? It's the sword of the Spirit. You don't bring your word, you're not getting fed. Don't expect me to do this for you. One day I won't be there when the hell hits the fan. It's going to be you. So get your word out. Luke 9:23, he says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, do you desire God? Do you long for Him? Some of you are saying yes, but some of you are going, I don't really know. Not really. Okay, well today we're going to learn how to get you on track to desire the things of God. Okay? He says, those that desire me, those that long after me, let them deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily and follow him. That's easy to say, right? But is it easy to do? When you decide, you know, instead of reading my word, I'm going to turn on the TV right now. I'm going to just watch this one show and then I'll get into the word. Or how about, oh, I'm going to just run to the store real quick. And then you get sidetracked and you never end up being with the Lord. God's saying, no, deny your flesh. Deny what you want. Deny those things and be with me. Those people are the ones that diligently seek me. And let me tell you something. They're the ones that are blessed. They're the ones you're looking at going, well, how come she gets everything? How come her life's so good? Well, because she's paying a price. She's paying a price to follow God. She's paying a price in her everyday walk with the Lord to love the kingdom, to cherish after him, to seek him with all of her face. So things that I could do every day to stay spiritually connected to God. Things you could do every day. Number one, you ready? Every day, stop and marvel at his creation. Every day, stop and marvel at his creation. I begin to tell you about those mountains. God gave us a house. We didn't want the house. When Dan and I moved back from Oklahoma, we thought these houses were being built. And I remember driving through them and going, oh, we'll never have a house that nice. I remember saying that. And Dan's like, yeah, you know, we'll never have a house that nice. And we were just really happy with where we were at. We had a cute little house. We loved it. It was perfect. It was like one of those little baby doll houses. Really small, but we loved it, right? We were good. And the Lord spoke to me one day and he says, time for you to invest. And I'm like, I don't want to. I'm good. Meeting the bills. We're getting paid. You know, we're like, we're good. And anytime you start to be comfortable, you get ready because God's going to shake you up. So he wouldn't leave me alone about it, and I remember telling Dan, I really believe that we need to start looking again. He's like looking at me like, you're crazy. Why are we looking again? We're good. And I said, because the Lord told me to. So we began to look, and we looked at all this junk. I mean, this was when the market was really high. We looked at a lot of junk that we'd have to redo, which we just redid our house. So we don't want to redo anything, and I'm pregnant. I don't want to do nothing anymore. I just want to sit. I want to enjoy my kids. And so I remember we went to this house, and I remember driving to this area and going, wow, look at those mountains. Look at those mountains. Aren't they gorgeous? And they were like snow-capped, and the birds were chirping, and the clouds were puffy, and everything was perfect. And I remember going and looking at one of the houses, like way too overpriced, way, way, way too overpriced. But we wanted to look at it anyway, so we had our realtor just walk us through it for fun. Don't do that, because then you could look at everything else, and nothing else looks good, right? So we did. And she came back to us. She said, listen, that same exact floor plan is for sale up the street. And I hated the front of the house anyways. And she's like, and it has a better look on the front of the other house. And it's cheaper. And they're Christians. And they got to get out of there because her husband already lives somewhere else. And we were like, yeah, right. You know, come on. So we went and we checked the house out. And we just fell in love. You know, when you walk into something and your spirit just goes, mm-hmm, ding, 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 this is it. So we went home, and we were devastated because we were like, we're going to have to sell this one to get that one. And I just kept telling Dan, but the mountains are so pretty. And I just kept thinking about the mountains. Ending up that we end up getting this house and keeping the other one. God is a miracle worker, let me tell you. He got us in and kept the other one for an investment. And when he did that, we got like they paid like our complete closing costs. They lowered the price. These people were Christians. They just wanted to go. They wanted to be together because the wife was living down here and he was living somewhere else. And God just blessed us. And now, every single day, I wake up and I look out my window and there are these gorgeous snow-capped mountains. Every day I drive home and I look at those mountains. And every day, you know what God tells me? I gave that to you because you asked me. And I made those mountains so you could be in awe of me. And I'm blessed every time you are in awe of me. And I just begin to cry because to think that when I look at his creation, I'm blessing him. I went to Trader Joe's and I bought some tulips because they were cute. They last for a long time and they're really cheap. And I put them in the water and my kids just gawk at them. They gawk at it. Mom, look how pretty. Look at all the different colors. And mom, look, they close and then they open, they close and they open. They love that. And my kids are in awe of the tulips. Don't deny the little things in life that maybe we walk by and we forget. Maybe those things that you see, maybe you don't live in the prettiest house, but you have really pretty flowers in your front yard. Stop for a second and look at them because they were created by your maker. And start to have faith for something better. Because when we look at his beauty, we're blessing his heart. When we look at his beauty, we're giving him praise. When we look at his beauty, we're in awe of our maker and our creator. And think about how I'm in love with those mountains or in love with a flower. Every day I look at something. Now every day I've been challenging myself. Okay, what else can I look at? What else can I gawk over, God? What else can I look at today, God? The other day I was listening to the birds and I'm like, aren't they beautiful? What would it be like if we didn't hear birds when we went outside? It would be eerie, wouldn't it? It'd be a very eerie feeling. So listen, take time and gawk at his creation. Marvel at what he does. In Psalms 8:3 in the Amplified, it says, when I view and consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained and established. Psalms 19:1 in the Message says, God's glory is on tour in the skies. God crafted on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. Isn't that gorgeous? Madam Day, I love this, holds classes every morning. And Professor Knight lectures each evening. Stop during your day, girls, and go marvel at some of his creation. Because we can get so consumed with our technology, with the man-made things, with man-made stuff. And God says, hold on, because I created the ground you're walking on, the sky and the air you're breathing. I'm the one that formed and fashioned the heavens, and yet you don't even stop for a second to marvel at my creation. Let's not forget to marvel every day at his creation. Point number two, every day to stay spiritually connected to God, we need to praise his name. So many times you're praising the complaining, huh? I am too, girls. I'm not up here going, oh yeah, you know, you're such a complainer. I am number one complainer. This is me. Micah, seriously, if I hear you one more time, ask me for the same thing, then we are going to have it out. In my family, we say we're going to knock you out. So just if you ever hear me say that, it's not really real. I don't really knock my kids out. But it's just kind of the saying that we have around our family. And now they all have this big joke. They sing the song, Mama's Going to Knock You Out, and then they laugh. You know, it's like, oh. So, I mean, I am number one, like, frustrated complainer. I mean, how many of you clean your house and can't get it clean? Okay, thank you, Jesus. I am not the only one. And I sat there the other night just, and the Holy Spirit said, you're frustrated because you haven't praised me at all today. And I was like, ooh, you're right. And I still have to do the floors. I still have to do the countertops. I'm just already frustrated. And he said, go put on some praise and worship. So I just put on some praise and worship. And I'm telling you, something happened in our household. My son started cleaning. And we began to praise his name. We turned on some praise and worship, and we danced across the house, and my spirit got lifted up, and I was in a good mood. When my husband came home, I was ready for him. Not ready for him to be like, and when you were gone, and here's the kids, I'm out of here. No, no, no. I was ready for him. Hey, honey, it's so good to see you. I got dinner ready. Everything's in place. I'm who I need to be as the woman of God that God's called me to be, not the nagger, not the complainer. Girls, we have to give our men a place to come home to. If you're crabby, broke, and busted, and disgusted, they're nothing to come home to. Oh, great, I got to go home to that. They've been working all day, too. Remember that. Now, you may be somebody who works. I was the one that worked. Just so you know, I'm now a stay-at-home mom. This is new for me as of a year. But I worked with the kids before. Now, that's hard because you come home and you're like, oh, I hate this dirty house. Oh, well, I'm too tired to clean it. Who wants to cook dinner? Well, let's go to Baker's. You know, I'm... So seriously, you say, how did you lose weight, Pastor Jess? I stopped working. No, so... I'm kidding. So we have to take some time to stop complaining and some time to start praising. No matter what your season is, no matter if you're a working mom and not working mom, no matter if you're a grandma or not a grandma, no matter what season and walk of life you're in, stop for a moment, and when you feel the anxiety start to rise up, counteract it with praise. Counteract it with praise. Let the praise come off of your mouth. In Psalms 35:28, in the New King James Version, it says, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and your praise all day long. My tongue shall speak of your righteousness and your praise all day long. I don't think complaining is speaking of God's righteousness. I don't think that's painting a beautiful picture for the people in your world, is it? Yeah, you know, she's a Christian, but she is always mad. God, she's like the most unhappy Christian I've ever met. Guys, somebody's always watching you. Somebody's always watching you, and God is saying, I need you to do these every day because you're affecting the people around you. My favorite's when I go to the store, and my children are losing it at Trader Joe's. And if you see me there, I'm focused. I'm ready to get out of the store already when I walk in. And I got three kids. They want everything. I'm trying to get down the aisles, get the food in the car, and get home. That is the goal, especially when it's raining. And I've just nursed in the car. It is never dull. But listen, what you got to do is you got to stop for a second. And sometimes I do this. I'll sit in my car, and I will listen to praise and worship for a second. Because I could tell I'm irritated. I am like, I'm going to knock you out in the store and, you know, and threaten your life if you even do anything. And listen, we can't do that all the time, guys. We can't. So get a grip. Hold on and start praising God. Take some time and say, Lord, I just love you right now. God, I praise your name even though I don't feel like praising your name. And I feel mad at you for some reason. I don't know why I'm mad at you. Talk to him. He knows how you're feeling. But he knows what you need. And yet we don't tap into his source, and his source is praise. Praise is healing. Praise is restoration. Praise is what turns these humanly fleshly desires into godly anointed dreams. And God has a purpose for us in Psalms 138:2. And I'm going to read it in the message because you probably don't have that in front of you, so you can look at the overhead. In Psalms 138:2, it says, thank you. Everything in me says thank you. Angels, listen as I sing my thanks. I kneel in worship facing your holy temple and say it again, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Most holy is your name. Most holy is your word. The moment I called out, you stepped in. You made my life large with strength. Have you stopped and thanked him? Have you stopped and said, thank you, God, for those bills that are there staring me at the face, and I don't know how to pay them. Thank you that you're going to help me pay them. Thank you, God, that you're meeting my needs. Instead of letting fear and doubt and worry come in, you combat it with praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving is always paired up in the word. You'll see that. And it's part of praising God. In Psalms 145, 2 through 7 in the message, it says, I will bless you every day and keep it up from now till eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There is no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of his work. Each one tells the stories of his mighty acts. Your beauty, your splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of details of your greatness. The frame of goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. Guys, we're not just serving just anybody. We're not just here because. You weren't just born as an accident. God knew you. He formed you. He created you. He put a praise in you. Now you need to let the praise come up out of you in your everydays. Every day, stop and take a second to praise him. Every day, stop and marvel at his creation. Every day, take some time. It doesn't take long, guys. You know, I know you can get intimidated and think that Pastor Jess probably praises for like hours, you know, and then she stares at those mountains for like 30 minutes. There's no time clock on this. It takes me 2 seconds to look at a tulip and think, oh God, you're so amazing that you thought of those colors to put together like that. And then I just to think about it. Who thinks about, God's into details and so are we as women, right? Isn't that cool that he can relate with us too? That the details are important to God. Listen, take time to be with him. To praise, you can walk, clean your house, yell at your kids, and thank you, Jesus, I love them. You can do your job. You can work on the computer. Yes, let me answer this phone call. Okay, da-da-da-da-da. Close it down. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. Thank you, Lord, that you're getting business going for my company that I'm working for. You could start believing in faith for things. You can praise God all day long. All day long. It takes 2 seconds. And that's all he's asking of us, is to stop and acknowledge him. Number three, Take time, this one's really deep, guys, to read your word. What a concept. Stop waiting for me and the other pastors on staff to give you the word. Pull it out yourself. This is your sword. This is how you combat life. When the hell hits the fan, because it will, this is how you're going to get through it. You better know it so it'll come up out of you when it's needed. Get it in you. You don't have to go reading a whole book a day. You don't have to read a whole chapter a day. You don't have to read anything big. Read at least a verse a day. And then I promise you, you're going to get so into it that you're going to be like, ooh, I want to read more. Oh, that story's good. I can't stop there. I got to keep going. What happened? Because this is the most incredible book I have ever read. I read through the Bible. And I'm just now going back through the Bible again. And I'm reading through again, and I'm like, I have not read that. And I'm like, yes, I did. I read the whole book. Wow, God, you're showing me new things. There are new things in this word every single day. It's almost as if you never read it. You know, I'm one of those people that watches movies, and then I totally forget that I watch them. And my husband thinks it's very funny to watch movies with me, because I'm like, oh, I've never seen this. And he's like, yes, we did. We've watched this movie. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then we'll be watching, and I'm like, what's going to happen? Oh, my gosh. And he's like, Jess, seriously? That's how I feel when I read the Bible. I just get so excited. It's like brand new to me every single time. So sit down with your word and just say, Holy Spirit, this is what I say. Holy Spirit, I'm not in the right mind frame to understand anything right now, but I know that you can teach me from your word. And before you start reading, pray. And just say, okay, now teach me. And when you start reading the word, it will start coming alive inside of you. And sometimes when you read it, you'll go, okay, that was good. That's good. And you just go on with your day. But listen, a few days later, you'll go back to what you just read. When something happens, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I read that. Oh, yeah, this happened to them in the Bible. Oh, yeah. And it will start to begin to guide you through your walk with the Lord. And the word guides, the word protects, the word shows you where to go. In Psalms 119, 105, it says, go ahead and turn there. I want to hear pages. 119. Come on. 119, 105. Make them crinkle more. They're more anointed when they do that. Just kidding. 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Any of you walking in some dark areas right now in life? Walking down some dark paths that just don't seem to make any sense. Find yourself in some places that you just don't understand why you're there. Start reading your word. You know, every question that you have is answered in this book. Every need, every want, every desire is in here. You just got to take some time to find out what God says about it. It is the light unto your path. It is a lamp unto your feet, the light unto your path. In Psalms 119, we're already in Psalms 119, go to 133. We'll stay here for a second. In verse 133, direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Let no sin have dominion over me. Listen, you get the word in you, sin will start to rub you the wrong way. You start filling yourself up with this. And then when those things that were sinful and would take you down a path of destruction will start coming at you, and you'll start going, ooh, I don't think I like that. What does the Bible say about it? I think I read about this the other day. And God says that if I follow his word, then sin can't come against me. Then I can be able to overcome it with goodness and overcome it with the word and the testimony. Listen, girls, get the word in you. Get it in you. I mean, picture yourself eating it. I mean, seriously, get it in you. You have to feed your soul because it longs for it. Have you ever missed church for a couple of weeks and then you really miss it? I hope you do. If you don't miss it, you need some help. You need to get back into the house of God because that is where you're strengthened, where you're filled, where you're whole, where you're healthy. And the word is what will pick you up in your time of need. It's what will carry you through those hard times. In Joshua 1:8, it says, and I'll read this in the Amplified, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So I don't really take time, Pastor Jess. I really don't. I don't have much time. I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. We always can justify why we don't have time. And then when we justify, we make ourselves feel better about it, right? Listen, you're not fooling God. You're not. He knows. He created you. He knows what your day's full of because he probably has a lot of good things for you. He gave them to you. But maybe you're not putting some time in with God, and God's saying, well, then I'm not putting some things into you. Well, why am I not getting this in my life? Why are these things just not falling into place? Well, when was the last time you spent time in your word? Found out what God said about it. Instead of making your own plan, your own direction, your own way. God says, I'm the one that leads you. I'm the one. Meditate on me day and night. And when you do, you will know what I say. You don't have to hear an audible voice from God, guys. Many times, I get spoken through the word of God. And he's talking to me, and I'm like, hello, I get it now. Spanking. Most of the time, it's spanking. God's good. Let's go back to the verse. It says, meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do accordingly to all that is written. That you may do accordingly to all that is written. That you may do accordingly to all that is written. Do we know it well enough to do accordingly? No, you don't. I don't either. Guys, we got to get it in us so we know what God needs us to do. So that we can be blessed. So that life can be blessed. So that every day our soul is fed. Every day God's goodness is blessed. Every day God's goodness is praised. Every day, that's why we're here, is to be vessels and soldiers for Christ. But we can't be good soldiers if we don't know what the tools are that we have. Get the word in you. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Everybody wants the end of that scripture first. So let's start there. Joshua 1:8. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Yay! All the Christians. Amen, Pastor Jess! Yeah, wise goodness! Hold on. It says that you will, the book of the law, that you shall meditate on it day and night. Oh. Yeah, you don't do it. I don't do it all the time. It's okay. Because God says, today, he's telling us to start doing it all the time. Today is a new day. Today is a day that he has made. Today is the day that we're going to rejoice and change in it. Ha ha. Start getting your word out today. This is what I do. I'll give you a little tip. Every night before I go to bed, and believe me, there are some late nights because I got some crazy kids at night. I make sure that I read the word. I make sure. Now, a lot of times I'm lethargic and it makes no sense. I'm going to be real with you. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what that meant, but hallelujah, I believe it. It went into my spirit and I don't know what happened, but God, you do. And I have to do it in faith, guys. And let me tell you, I'll get up in the middle of the night because I'm in spiritual warfare in the middle of the night. Usually, it happens for me in the middle of the night, of course. You know, the demons don't like to come fight me during the day, little wimps. They always have to come at night. So I'm up praying over my kids, fighting against the church, fighting for your lives, and here we go. The word comes out that I read right before I went to bed that night. It springs up in my spirit, and it starts to renew my soul, and I'm like, I all of a sudden start to wake up like, oh, okay, I'm ready for this. I could do this. And I would have never been there if I didn't prepare myself. So, listen, I'm going to tell you what I do. Okay, I go deep, right? So I don't read like a whole chapter. You know how like in your Bible it gets dark? Like some of the letters get dark? Darker? Okay, I'm so deep, I know. And I don't even stop where it has like a sentence. I stop where it has like darker letters. So I read from one darker letter to the next darker letter. Unless the story is really, really good and I'm into it, then I keep going. Okay, so start somewhere. Start somewhere. I started doing a chapter, and I was like, dude, I'm fading, and I couldn't do it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, it's okay. It's really okay. So listen, you can do this. I know, I'm so not you, Mom. No, I'm not. Here, and then there's Dan next to me, right? He reads too. And I'm like, can you turn your light off? You've been like reading for like an hour. Jeez. I bought him like all these book lights. lights and everything. He won't use them. It's so frustrating. So anyway. And my dad, is that dad? Yeah. So anyways, I wish one day we'll have a house big enough where I'm like, you go read in your reading room. Okay, so. So I told you I'm very spiritual. So read your word though, guys. Get it in you. Figure out what's good for you. Figure out what's good for you. You know what I do too? I also read to my kids before they go to bed. Now they are jumping all over the bed, laughing at each other, making crude noises, and I'm like, sit down, I'm reading the word of God. You know, like, so get it in them, because hell's going to hit them, and they're going to need it to come up out of them. The other day, somebody came up to my daughter, and they said something pretty stupid at her school. I mean, pretty stupid. It was a dumb thing to say to each other. And she says to me, well, you're not going to get me to sin. And she walked off. I'm like, oh, my God. Chloe, you can't say that. She goes, well, the Bible says to not sin, Mom. And I'm like, all right, go, girl, go, girl. So, listen, get it in them just like you're getting it in you. If you don't have time to do it without them, do it with them. Your husband and you need to spend time together. How about you pull out the word together instead of turning on the TV together? Concepts. Okay, so let's move on. You know I go deep. Point number four. We need to talk with God. That means pray. See, aren't I so deep? This is so deep. So we need to pray. How often do you really pray? Have you gone through your day and at the end of the night you're like, oh gosh, I haven't even prayed at all today. Yeah, I'm sure. Because I know I've done it. And I'm like, oh, sorry, God. So this is what I've started doing for myself. I'm giving you tips because maybe this can help you in your busy lives, okay? Never turn it off. This is the way I think about it. You know how like you pray and then you're like, amen, see you later, God, we're good. Keep going on with my life. I did my prayer. I prayed back there. No, I don't do that. Like right now, there's like open communication. I'm talking to him while I'm talking to you. That's how it is. I say amen, but really in my heart, I'm like, it's never amen. Because amen feels like it's closing it off. No, I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you think of this? And then I'm at the store. I'm like, hello, where's the deals? Show me the deals. Like, and I'm like, okay, God, that person just cut me off. I'm going to love them anyways. Like, I talk all day to him. He's like my best friend. Like me and him are never not talking. Did you ever think about talking to God like that? Some of you did, but some of you never thought of that. Sometimes we have this picture of God where he's so far away, so big, he's so powerful. Why would he want us to bother him? He's dealing with Japan and all their issues and all of this. And no, seriously, the other night, Dan is like doing sit-ups and I'm like, come on, I want to pray. I want to go to bed. Hurry up. And he's like, because we pray every night before we go to bed. And he says, all right. And so he starts praying. He starts in the middle of the sit-ups. And he goes, hold on, God. I go, oh, yeah, just hold on, God. Just hold on because you've got to do sit-ups. And Dan's like, listen, he is not worried about time. And I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. And so I mean, just the concept of thinking of God as like, he can handle anything at any moment, any time of the day. He's not worried. He's not like, come on, hurry it up. I need to get going. I got to go take care of Japan. No, he's doing everything simultaneously. He's got everything in his hands. He knows what he's doing. So listen, your little prayer that maybe your teeth hurt and God, can you take the pain away, works. There's been times when I've been in a position where I cannot use a restroom. I'm like, Lord, you need to help me out. I am dad. I'm so dad. Oh my gosh, I did a bathroom thing. It works! Huh, you're clapping because it works, huh? Yep. It works, huh? Yep. It does. I'm serious. I pray over everything. Now, you could think I'm the cheese to be a fly on the wall in my prayers. Like, seriously, you'd probably be like, what did she just say to him? But me and him have that relationship. I'm always in communications with him. I'm always talking to him. When I went to Bible college, there were things that were said in my classes that I was like, I don't know, Lord. And we would just be talking, and he would say, turn to this scripture. Go here, Jess. Look at this. And he was, like, guiding me. I was like, ooh, this is good. Ooh, cool. And seriously, get him in you. Start speaking to him. Talk to God. You could talk to your friends. You could talk to your coworkers. You could talk to your family. How many times do you stop and just talk to God? Do you know what my kids know now? It's so funny. if I'm in the kitchen, usually I'm like cleaning, and I'll talk to God a lot when I'm doing dishes. And now Micah comes up to me, Mom, are you talking to God? Because he wants to ask me something, and I'm always like, can you be quiet? I'm talking to God. Hold on. It's the only thing that gets him to shut up, actually. So, but it's true. He does ask me, are you talking to God? And I am. And I'll be like, yeah, hold on 1 second. And I'll finish talking to God, I'll finish my sentence for a second, and then I'll go to Micah. And you know what? I believe that that's really going to install in him that there's a priority in talking to God. That mom is taking some time to be with God for a second, and I can wait. I can wait patiently because I need her to talk to God so she's a good mom. Not freaking out, losing her mind, yelling at me. Tell me she's going to knock me out. So, talk with God. Hey, how about this? Pray in the Spirit. I should have gotten a better amen on that one. Listen, your spirit man is dying every day. You got to stir it up because the world is pushing it down and wanting to quiet it. The enemy wants to keep you quiet. Never say anything. So you know what? I'm doing my hair and I'm like, I'm vacuuming. I'm like, thank you, Lord, for whatever I prayed for. And then I ask him and he always tells me. I am spiritual. He does talk to me a lot. But listen, do it. You say, well, I don't have my prayer language. We can fix that. We can fix that. It's a gift from God. He wants to give it to you. He gives gifts freely and beautifully. And if you're willing to receive it, he has a prayer language for you. It brings you to the next level of your walk with Christ. It's not just praying and talking. Now it's getting into the spiritual depths of God and knowing what it is. I pray in tongues every time my mom preaches so I can understand what she's saying. I'm so kidding. She's so smart that I'm like, oh, I get intimidated. Like, okay, yeah, I know that verse in the Bible. No, not really. Listen, don't you let anything intimidate. You let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you. Get into your word. Speak to God. Say your prayer language. Speak your prayer language. Stir it up. You say, I don't use it very much. Well, then start using it. Use it in the car when you're driving home. Use it when you're walking to go get your kids across the way. Use it when you're in the bathroom. If you have to. If that's your only quiet moment, believe me, I shut the door. It's never still quiet, but at least I'm alone. Come on. Find your place. Find your moment. You may be in a season where you get to just be with God and pray for like hours. Hallelujah. I don't even know what that would be like. I have this sign over my closet that says prayer closet. It's true. I go in there when I run away from the kids and I pray for them that I don't kill them. Or when me and Dan are fighting, I go in there because I could just be like, and then God checks me and then he tells me how wrong I am and I go out and I make it right, right? So, find your time, find your place, talk to God. He wants to talk with you. Psalms 55:16, it says, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Hello, do you need some saving in this room? Have you called upon him lately? He will save you. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon I will pray. That means you don't have to be in hours of prayer. Just pray all day long. Be with him all day long. Why do you have to just say, okay, I'm going to just pray for half an hour. I'm going to put this time aside. Maybe you are not that type of person that can just stop and talk to God during the day because you're very focused. You have a checklist and he's not on your list. Well, guess what? So am I. I have a checklist in my head. I have goals for my day. I'm going to get this dusted, this clean, go to the store, go counsel this person, call this person back. But listen, I never, ever even put on there, okay, stop and pray. You know why? Because I expect to be praying right before I do that. I expect to be in prayer in the middle of this. That's just how I live. Start changing the way you live. Don't fit God into you. You fit yourself into God. Start praying. Start talking to him. Day and night, in and out, all the time. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Remember that in Joshua 1:8? How about that? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Message. Cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Cheerful no matter what. Cheerful when you get that junky bill that just came in the mail that says that you owe a lot of money. Or how about when you get the ticket in the mail? Oh, that's my favorite. My husband got the ticket in the mail and then the video that showed that he ran the light. When we went on a hospital visit, for the love of God. We are doing something for you, Lord. Come on, you know it's true. So, was I happy? You know what? I did. I kind of turned it around. I talked to God. He said, well, what are you worried about? The money? I'll take care of the money. He ran the light. He needs a ticket. Okay. Okay, sounds good to me. Dad, never do that again. Start praying. Start talking to God. Call upon Him, evening and day. Be cheerful. Pray at all times. Thank God no matter what happens. Thank God no matter what happens. So if it's bad, are you then going to curse Him? When things don't go your way, your plan, your will, your way. Oh, God wasn't in it. Yeah, you know, God, you just, what do you know? I had this plan and I know it was of you because we talked about it. No, come on, guys. No matter what happens, you need to praise Him. You need to pray. You need to get into the Word. This is the way God wants you to belong to Christ Jesus, to live. This is the way God wants you to belong to Christ Jesus, to live. Jeremiah 29:11. I just threw this one in, so I don't know if they'll have it up on the the overhead. But I just loved it because there was a time in my life when I was, you know, a new Christian, and I've been a Christian my whole life, but when I really started to know God intimately and had to make some choices for myself, and my salvation wasn't through my parents or the church. My salvation was because I knew my Maker, because I loved Him. And there was a time where he had told me, verse 11, everybody knows it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. When my life was in hell, that got me through it. But then as I progressed in my life, God started to take me to verse 13 and 14, and I thought this was good for today. Verse 13, and you will seek me, and you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places that I have driven you, says the Lord, that I will bring you from the place to which I cause you to be carried away captive. When you seek me, you will find me. I will be found by you. Talk to God. When you pray, some of the versions say that when you pray, you will find me. And it says that in verse 12. Then you will call upon me and you will go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Isn't that cool? It's kind of weird to think about, huh? We're always having to listen to God, listen to God, listen to God. He listens to us. Right now, He's listening to us. When you're talking to your girlfriend on the phone, He's listening to you. When you're talking about your boss and they just came in and told you what to do and how to do it and you just didn't like their plan or their operation, God's listening to you. God's listening. When you come to God with a broken and contrite spirit, He's listening to you. He's saying, talk with me, pray with me, get to know me, I'll get to know you. Me and God have a thing. There are many voices that are going to come, and you are going to wonder, is this God or is this the enemy speaking to me when you talk and ask God questions, or when you, God and I talk. And when God and I talk, He has a certain way of talking to me, that I know that the enemy does not talk to me that way. And He talks to me with gentleness and kindness. He's loving and He's a blessing. He knows how to talk to me. He knows how to spank me and get me where I need to be. He knows where to put me in my place. But at the same time, He knows how to comfort me in my time of need. He knows that when my heart is broken, when I'm weary or when I'm tired or when I'm just longing to be with Him and it just seems like I just can't get enough time with the Lord, if I stop and I talk with Him, He could say one or two words and the whole day is better. That whole situation is better. Listen, He doesn't say a lot. How many of you have had God talk to you in, like, books? The only book He's ever talked to me in is this one. He doesn't say much, but when He talks, it's so profound. It's so intimate. It's so deep. It's so anointed. It's so an answer that you need because you know your soul is longing for it. Listen, the word says that he knows the desires of your heart. And you will never be able to hear what God has for those desires if you're not talking to him. If you're not stopping and taking the time. Girls, we have to, in our everydays, get to know our Maker. Every day, allow those things of this world to go behind and allow the things of God to come in the front. Just like when I'm at the counters or wherever I'm at talking to God and Micah says, Mom, you talking to God? Yeah, I am. Hold on 1 second. You may have to do that. You may have to tell your family members, can you just hold on 1 second? Can you just hold on for 1 second? I just need to finish something I'm saying to God. Tell them you're talking to God. They may think you're crazy, some of them, because they may not be saved. What? She's talking to God? She's crazy. You know what? Let them think that, because one day that's going to minister to their heart. And they're going to see the change in you. And they're going to go, well, what do you mean when you talk to God? You just talk to him? And you'll be able to minister to them and show them how to just be with God, how to just talk with him and how to love on him because you've experienced it yourself. These little everydays that aren't so deep, we so easily forget them because they're so surface level. And we're always looking for the bigger, the better, the bolder. God is saying, listen, it's right in front of you, but you overlook it every day. You never take time to be with me every day. Stop, girls. We are called to be the women of God. And what does he want from us? Every day, he wants us to stop and marvel at his creation. Every day, he wants us to praise his name. Every day, he wants us to take time to read his word. Every day, he wants us to pray and talk with him. If you got something from God today, let's give him a praise.